Broadcasting from Boston, Massachusetts, you're listening to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Technology Equals Equality Podcast. I'm your host, Lori Brooks, and this is episode 43. I am super excited to welcome to the show today, Julia Guerrero. Julia is founder of BizThrive, a Google Plus community helping entrepreneurs and small business owners increase their rapport, build new connections, and achieve their goals. Julia is also a virtual executive assistant to startup and Fortune 500 CEOs. Her diverse experience in marketing, sales, and business development has helped small business owners promote their work, share their expertise, seize business opportunities, and interact with customers. Julia, welcome to the show, and thank you so much for joining us today.
No, thank you, Lori. I'm glad I'm here.
Thank you. What we would love to do is kind of rewind the clock just a little bit and talk about what it is you thought your future would be like before you began, you know, branding yourself or building out BizThrive. What did you think your career life would be like?
Well, let's start when I was like 5, just because I already knew what I wanted to do back then. When I was about 5, I wanted to be an artist. I wanted to paint. I wanted to draw. I was really good at what I was doing. And I kind of took that as my hobby for the longest time until I got into high school. That's sort of where I kind of let it go because my expertise in painting was great and I loved it. But then something else came along and was architecture. And when I saw architecture, I was like, whoa, I'm going to have to do that. So my ideas and my career path changed, and one of the main reasons I think is because architecture is much more analytical, and it is a lot more research and in-depth, and you still have that creative part in it. So it was taking what I already loved about art, which is that creative and innovation, and adding it into a lot more, which is like my analytical side to myself. From there, I mean, I went all out. I took classes that nobody else would technically take, you know, technology communication classes, architecture classes, things in high school that people were like, are you taking that class? Are you for real? And I was like, yeah, it's fun. They're like, no, it's not. But to me, it was, you know, it was my passion. It was what I loved. And that's really what I wanted to do. And I took that all the way to college. I went to the University of Tennessee, and I have a bachelor's in architecture. And unfortunately, when I graduated, it was when the economy, you know, the regression was going on. And our instructors even told us, you know, when you come out, you're going to have a very difficult time finding a job. And I did. I tried for about 3 to 4 years applying in different firms. I tried to put out, you know, my work for free. I was trying to go to them and say, can you have an internship, you know, volunteer internship? I'll work for free. Just let me have the experience. Because in order for me to get my architecture license, I needed the experience. I didn't care whether or not I got paid. I just wanted to have that experience. And where I was in Georgia, in Columbus, it was a very small town. You only had about 3 different architecture firms, and 98% of the time, they weren't hiring. They were letting people go. And that was just, you know, it was a bummer for me. So instead of just kind of letting that bring me completely down, I decided to turn it around. And I asked myself, well, what skills do I already have that can be applied to a different position or a different career that I'm also going to enjoy? So I went back to more of the artistic side of myself, and I got into graphic design, and I got into web development. The process is very similar to building, you know, designing a building. You have to go through your initial ideas, your sketchups. You have to make sure you do research on who your audience is and who you're building the website for and who you're designing for. And you have to go through all the analytical side of the project and then, of course, building the content for the website and building the content for the actual work that you're doing, whether it's a print work in in graphic design, or whether it's something more digital that, you know, you can put online, like Facebook advertising, you know, those little images that they put out and things like that. And I really enjoyed the similarities that it had to the process of architecture, because that's really what I loved about architecture, the process. So I took that into graphic design and web development and working for Limebright. And from there, they actually moved me into marketing. They came to me and say, we've seen a lot of other skills that we want to kind of incorporate for you. Would you mind going into digital marketing and see if you're going to like it? And I said, well, okay, let's try it out. And once I tried out digital marketing, I said, yes, let's do it. I pushed away a little bit the graphic design and web development, and I went into digital marketing because it was more towards the human to human. I had to analyze how we engaged online, and I had to see how they were engaging with the website, how they were engaging with the email campaign, how we were promoting the business, and whether this brand was more of a personal brand, more of a corporate brand, and different things like that. And we worked with different industries. I mean, we worked with regular retail stores, local stores. We worked with the aviation industry, with the manufacturing industry. That's where I really got my experience. That's where I really learned to kind of communicate with all the different industries and be able to change how I worked with them in order for me to make sure I met their needs and to make sure that they were getting exactly what they wanted. Because that's one of the things that you have to think about, not just their needs, but what they want. Those are two completely different things. 98% of the time, you'll see people who say, I want this, I want this, and I want this, but what do you need? And we kind of try to stay away from what we need because our mind really thinks about the wants. But if your wants and needs are not coexisting with each other, there's going to be some problem at one point or the other. And that's one of the things that I really wanted to communicate with them. After that, actually, one of the clients was Baby's Dream, and they noticed my work, and they actually invited me to be director of marketing for them. They had Kelly Kush, who was actually leaving the company, and they said, well, would you like the position? And I love the position. I like being a leader, and being a director of marketing, that was going to be a leadership role. And I took it, you know, and that was interesting. For about 4 to 5 years, I dove into being a director of marketing, and it was a completely different thing. It was more the manufacturing industry, but more to the baby and parenting side. And there's so many things I learned through there that I told my husband, I was like, we're not having kids right now. And then, boom, out of nowhere, there she goes. And we had a daughter. And right now, she's, you know, 1.5, and she thinks she's Miss Independent. She goes around, doesn't want to hold my hand. She wants to feed herself. And I'm like, you're 1.5. You can't always feed yourself. You can't put on your own diapers. I'm like, great that you're trying, but come on.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, with all those different things, I learned a lot. You know, my skills go back to sales, they go back to marketing, they go back to design. So I learned all the essential things that you eventually would need to start your own business and to become an entrepreneur. And at first, you know, there was a lot of that in the beginning that, okay, I'm not working in architecture, that's kind of a downfall. I don't feel that, you know, too confident in what I'm doing because this is new to me. But when I, you know, think about it, God places us in a path. And even though we think that path might not be the correct one for us, eventually we're going to find out, well, we are in that path. And, you know, I'm glad I've been in that path. Because if I hadn't learned all those different things, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now.
I love the way you describe the way your path evolved. Because I think it's really important for people to understand that although you may come up with an idea and you're doing your research in the idea, sometimes it's really, really important to take a step back and do that self-exploration and that self-research so that really derive what that true passion and what it is that you can be of service with. Because I like how, you know, at the age of 5, you thought you were going to be an artist, and that really evolved through the classes that you took and the opportunities that you went ahead and said yes to allow yourself to gain that insight and gain the experience in those areas that opened your mind and your thought processes up two other ideas to lead you and you know, begin or continue allowing your path to evolve. So what do you feel was really the most difficult part? Because once you had that director of marketing role and you were working with the firm and you did the 4 to 5 years, what do you feel was the most difficult part of taking that and then kind of turning it into your own entrepreneurial journey?
I think the biggest thing was my self-esteem and my confidence. I am somebody who has a very high self-esteem, but when it comes to doing something new, it's like everybody else. You know, you have that fear of taking that leap and not, you know, whether or not you're going to be able to pull through with what you really want to do. And making that transfer from director of marketing into this entrepreneurial world, that was the biggest thing. I mean, I spent about a year just contemplating that thought. You know, I was still working as director of marketing, but for that whole long time, I kept talking to my husband. I was like, hey, I want to do this. I want to do this, but, and there was always a but. And that's really what's going to stop us. That's really, you know, ourselves and that fear and that doubt that what we are doing might not be the best thing for us. But that's where you just talked about. You have to go back into your journey and think about what you're really passionate about, because that's really where you're going to put your commitment and your passion and in the work that you really want to do. If you're working, you know, as an entrepreneur, or you're working for a company and you're not doing something that you love, it's going to show. It's going to show to your customers. It's going to show to your employers. It's going to eventually turn everything in your life into this negative bubble, and you're going to react to it whether or not you see that reaction. It's just like when we're walking down the street and we're passing by somebody, you know, we're having the best day ever, and we pass by somebody who might be a little bit frustrated, and suddenly we feel kind of frustrated and kind of irritated, and we don't even know why. It's that energy that we're putting out. And while we may not see that, other people do. They catch it. That's what makes us more, I guess, just open to certain people and more close to others, even though that if you place both these people right next to each other, they might look exactly the same. And it's just taking that leap was probably the biggest thing for me. And is it going to be the biggest thing for everybody? Because it's never going to stop. It's honestly never going to stop. Up to this date, I'm still doubting and thinking, but the only thing that's been able to get me through it is just understanding that I should have the confidence in my skills and in what I'm doing, because if I don't, who else will? And it's that confidence that I'm portraying, even though I still feel that fear and I still feel those doubts and I'm still feeling that little irritation of maybe this won't work out. Maybe I'm not going to be doing, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing, and somebody else is going to, you know, criticize me or say something or judge me. Still putting forth my passion and still putting forth the things that I want to do and helping others, that's really what's gotten me to where I am, no matter what adversity I've been through. Because, I mean, you know, talking right now, you can say, oh, yeah, you know, it went all fine and dandy. But honestly, it didn't. The path to getting here was a little bit crazy. It was complicated. And then if you try to incorporate my personal life, where, you know, it wasn't necessarily the best thing in the beginning. You know, I was in a abusive relationship while I was in college. And then I moved out of that into another abusive relationship. And just trying to work with that and get out of that into where I am now, that's also going to, you know, in a little bit break you. And you need to make sure that you're in the mindset that, okay, this is happening, but I'm still going to do what I want to do because that's my passion and I'm going to move towards it no matter what gets in my path.
Definitely. That is a powerful story, and that you were able to overcome those trials and those moments in life that can really hinder a person's ability to kind of break through and figure out what it is that they're passionate about. I think that can be one of the hardest parts of becoming an entrepreneur, is figuring out what that passion is. Because in this day and age, so many people are working that job just to survive versus actually living life, that it's difficult to even know what your honest passion is. So the fact that you were able to take that time, really focus on what it is that you found true love for, a true passion for, and then to be able to apply that, take those steps to begin moving forward towards a career and towards passion project of your own that can propel you into an entrepreneurial journey that's still developing is an amazing thing. It's not an easy thing to maintain a positive mindset on a day-to-day basis for most people. So the ability to overcome that situation, maintain a positive mindset, and still be able to derive your passion from that is really, really, really impressive. So That's wonderful, Julia. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
What do you feel prospective entrepreneurs should really take into consideration when they're thinking about an entrepreneurial journey, as they begin running across different information or podcasts, or they have that epiphany moment where they decide, you know what, I need to make a change and I may want to do something for me on my own? What do you feel is the biggest thing you would suggest that they take into consideration?
Well, I can't directly say one thing over the other because there's several, but there are some things that I really think they're going to really have to look into. Of course, we already talked about, you know, having that passion. That's going to be really important, and finding out what you're passionate about. And that's going to come with time, and that's going to come with experimenting with different things. The second thing I think is going to be just being able to understand whether or not your idea is going to be feasible. That's going to be one of the biggest problems that it's actually still one of the biggest problems that I see. You might be passionate for something, but is the idea that you're deriving from that passion going to be something that people are going to want? And is it something that people are going to, you know, want to buy and need? And is it something that's going to solve a problem? Is it something that once you put it in the market will eventually grow into the company or the business that you really want it to be? If not, then you have to go back to that idea and you have to think about, you know, your passion again. You know, I'm passionate about this, but how can I switch it and think about a different idea? If we actually think about all the people that we consider geniuses, you know, Thomas Edison, Vinci, all these different people from different, you know, industries, you know, their process of strategizing their ideas was just letting it flow. They wouldn't go back and think of it as in, okay, what has my experience showed me about what I just learned and about my idea and how can I solve the problem that I'm having right now? They actually try to put themselves in other people's shoes. And they go through this whole process of just kind of sitting down, relaxing for about 5 to 10 minutes, and then they write down anything that comes to their mind, whether it sounds crazy, whether it sounds fun, whether it sounds like it's something out of the world, they write it down. It is after all those things are written that they go back and analyze their ideas, but they don't let their thoughts get in the way of what's coming to them. And I think that's something that everybody really has to, as an entrepreneur, you're going to have to do. Simply because entrepreneurship is a little bit of this taking risk. You know, you're going to have to take risks. And if you try to stop what you're doing because you're scared of something or because your experience has showed you otherwise, you're not taking that risk of thinking outside the box, of being innovative, of being creative, and that's going to eventually show in your product or in your service, and your customers are not going to want it. Just because you're not going to be unique enough for them to want to purchase that product or that service because it's already been done. And then here's the other thing they got to think about when it comes to uniqueness. You might hear a lot of people or read even things in blog articles that say you have to find what makes you unique. You don't. And I'm just going to say it out there. You don't have to find what makes you unique. You can create what makes you unique. And that's something that a lot of people don't know and a lot of people don't understand, because when you're creating something, you're actually striving to make that come true. And let's think about some of the major companies, like, for example, Apple. When Apple started, they weren't known as this clean line, super innovative company. They weren't known at all. You know, Steve came out with this idea of just wanting to be that company, and then they strive for it. And once it became well known, then everybody thought, hey, that's their uniqueness. The same thing happened with Walmart. With Walmart, when it first started, they wanted to be known for being the company that gave you the best, lowest prices. Were they in the beginning? No. Were they unique in the beginning? No. After the years passed by, striving for that goal, then people became, you know, knew that brand for what it is, uniqueness. And the same thing with Nike, you know, just do it. And all these different things that you have to take into consideration, you don't have to find it. Finding something like that, finding a uniqueness, is going to be a lot of, you know, it's going to be a lot of thinking, a lot of meditation, a lot of pushing into yourself, and you might just end up like a lot of people that I know, including myself in the beginning. I don't know what makes me unique. You don't have to know. Just create it. Find what it is that you want to do. See how that relates to everybody else and whether that's different. Whether you think that what you're creating is going to be something that people are going to see as unique, not now, not when you're starting, but maybe 5 years from now, 10 years from now. That's going to be something they really have to understand.
Definitely. It takes time to figure out what that is. It's something that you know, uniqueness is not something that necessarily pops out at everyone. And I think that speaks to, you know, a recent guest who is giving us the statistics on, you know, I think it's like 70 to 80% of the people in the U.S. at this point are really unfulfilled with what they're doing. And with a statistic of that sort, knowing how many people are unfulfilled, there's so many people not deriving their passion from what they're doing on a day-to-day basis. And you may not be, but you can position yourself to be learning about things that you are passionate about, or begin finding ways to strategically implement into your own day pieces that you enjoy, so that you can begin, you know, possibly even maneuvering to a path where you'll figure out what that passion is. Because, yeah, uniqueness is definitely something that is not something that's easily going to pop out for the regular entrepreneur. For most people, like you said, it's kind of those people who work at it and work at it and work at it, and eventually over time, it's either something that evolves or it just, you know, is branded in that manner.
Absolutely.
So, definitely. Now, I know that you have had the opportunity to volunteer for SCORE, which is one of the bigger programs across the country that really does help entrepreneurs. And what I'd love to know is, during your time with volunteering with SCORE, what do you feel was one of the biggest mistakes that you would see first-time entrepreneurs making? What do you feel is one of the bigger things you come across on a regular basis?
One of the biggest things is probably taking action without doing your research. And I say that in a very general term, because everybody's coming from different industries with from different ideas, and they want to put out so many different things. But when they come to SCORE, a lot of the times they come with an action that's already been taken. For example, we just had somebody that came in recently, and he had already signed a contract for the future expansion of his retail stores locally when he hadn't even opened his first store.
Wow.
And those type of things, that's the kind of thing that you should not do at all until you at least have your business plan ready and you have your financial marketing plan ready. You know how you're going to promote everything. You have done your research correctly, because accurate market research is going to be really important to understanding whether or not your business is going to succeed. And of course, funding. Funding is probably, when it comes to these different ideas and making action, funding is probably one of the biggest things that I see people come in and want. They want funding. And here's the thing with funding. The, you know, the SBA, SCORE, they don't really fund any entrepreneurship. They don't fund any organization whatsoever. They do have the resources to help you get funding, but if your credit score, for example, is not the highest credit score, you have a low credit score, you've been struggling for a while, a bank is not going to give you the loan. Banks usually expect about 50% of whatever they're going to give you for you to already have yourself and fund yourself into the business. When it comes to investors and when it comes to venture capitalists, they're going to want to see a feasible idea. They want to see that you haven't taken action, like, you know, signed a contract without consulting them first, because they're going to be your investors. They're going to be the ones who are also going to be your board of directors, whether that's officially or unofficially. They're going to have some input in your business. And if you've already taken decisions like that, that are kind of probably take down the business before it even starts, it's going to be very difficult for them to want to invest in it. And a lot of the things that I actually would suggest when you're trying to reach out to investors or venture capitalists or angel evangelists, you know, those type of people, is several things. They're going to want to see that you have an idea, that you're committed to it, that you are passionate about it, that this idea is solving a problem, something that people are going to actually buy. They're also going to want to see whether or not you actually have a business plan that's going to work. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs who kind of skimp over the business plan and, you know, already take that action, like I said earlier, and they don't really have a business plan set. They just kind of have the idea, and they started on it, and there is no business plan. The business plan, even though a lot of the things you see online, like a lot of online courses on starting your own business and things like that, they don't really talk about this. They don't talk about the business plan. They just kind of show you how to quickly open something online. The business plan is really what you're going to go back to every single time. It's truly what you're going to go back to and see whether or not your idea is working, what your initial thoughts of the business were, your mission and your vision for it. And that's something that you're going to need. Because once you're in, you know, in that mode, in that pre-launch state, or even in launching state, or you've had your business for a while, you want to make sure that you're still striving for what you initially wanted it to be and not go away from that initial plan. So, for example, if you wanted to create a business that was, you know, a unique retail experience where you connected the designers of the clothing that you're selling with your customers, and maybe a year from now or 2 years from now, you actually don't have that business plan. You've probably already forgotten about what your initial idea for your business was and what your initial mission and vision for it was. And those 2 years pass by and you're making all these changes because customers are telling you what they want and what they need. And when you look at your business, if you don't have something to go back to that tells you, hey, this is where we should be, you're going to be lost and you're going to be confused. And right. That's going to take your business away from where you wanted it to be, and it's going to turn into a job, and it's not going to turn into a lifestyle, and it's not going to turn into that passionate job that you're going to be doing. And then you're going to end up closing doors because, well, this is not what I wanted, and I hate it.
Right, right. No, definitely a reflection point, something to turn to, something to know where the end goal is. If you don't have a plan of some sort mapped out, a goal, an end goal that you're looking to be taking steps towards, it's really difficult to be able to see that progress. And if you have no way to measure your own progress, it can become very, very difficult to continue on an entrepreneurial journey because, Lord knows, it's not an easy journey.
Like, no. And when we think about this, you have to consider the fact that if you're going to be expanding, and you're going to be hiring, your employees are also going to need that. They're also going to need to know that endpoint and what, you know, initially drove this business to be started and what your passion was when you started the business, because that's also going to give them that same passion and that thrive. You know, when they know what they're supposed to be achieving, whether it's now or 5 months or, you know, a year or 5 years from now, they're going to make sure that their actions are actually being implemented to achieve that goal. If they don't have anything, they're going to do whatever the heck they want because, hey, you know, I'm just working here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And when you see a business that's struggling, a lot of the times it has to do with that. It has to do with the employees or even the owner no longer wanting to be in there because they don't have a purpose.
Right. If it's not understood why it is you're doing what you're doing, it's really difficult to motivate others to continue on that journey to do what it is you wanted to be doing. So, no, I agree 100% as a reflection and a recognition point for the entire team as you scale. I would love to know is a little bit more about BizBread. I would love to know, you know, your thoughts for the community and what you'd like to see BizThrive become.
Right now, the community has about 700 members, and that to me is amazing. I never thought to have that many members at all, especially when we started back in August. You know, I opened the community because I've noticed a lot of different communities on Facebook and maybe some communities on LinkedIn that were really, you know, thriving and having some great engagement, but I never saw anything really like that in Google+. And that's, you know, where I opened the community. And, I mean, as many people, you know, they say Google+ is dying. Google+ is thriving. I mean, Google has so many different business features and tools that you can use. And there's a lot of people in Google+. If you even look at their Google+ small business community, they have over 600,000 people that's joined. So that it by itself lets you know that, hey, there are people in Google+. So I wanted to bring that same passion that I have for helping people one-on-one and helping them through SCORE to the online world. And I wanted to do it for free. I didn't want people to have to pay, to have to go to a community or some type of forum or some type of mastermind and try to put their ideas out there and get answers to their questions, and maybe not, you know, not being able to just see a community where they could really engage with others and just see a lot of, you know, what you normally see nowadays, spam or a lot of promotions or a lot of ads or things that are not even relevant to an entrepreneur or small business. And that's really what I wanted my community to be. I wanted it to be different in the point where people were engaging, they were getting to know each other, and there was something in the community that was always going to keep you going. Right now, I have 30-day challenge that I do every single month, and it switches. I started out with the gratitude challenge. It moved into the networking challenge, and now we're doing the productivity challenge, because you know that the last 2 months of the year are the craziest and most busiest years of the year. So making sure that you get things done is going to be one of the biggest, you know, things for you in closing the year, so that, you know, when the holidays come along, you don't feel a stress or, you know, you don't feel overwhelmed with all the things that you have to do, and you can really enjoy your time with your family. So that's where I'm at with it now. And I'm loving it. I do get, you know, every so often the players that want to, you know, promote and not engage. And instead of just closing out their messages and removing them and blocking them from the community, I contact them first. Because I feel that, hey, you might not have read, you know, the guidelines to the communities. Let me talk to you a little bit about what it is. Would you be willing to actually play along with us and engage with the community and wait until the specific day? Because I have a specific day where they can promote their business. Because, like you said, you know, everybody needs a promotion here and there. And a lot of the times when I speak to them and just kind of communicate one-on-one, they're more than willing to do it. And I'm not having to block anybody because, you know, they're actually seeing that this community is different than everybody else's.
Certainly. No, the benefits are endless. I think it's outstanding that you've created it, and I think it's wonderful that there is a resource of that sort that's so unbelievably easily accessible for anyone and pretty much everyone. I mean, if you have a Gmail email account, which is absolutely free to the world, then there's that you can't access. You know, so, no, I think it's absolutely outstanding, and I love the community. I think the challenges are so cute. You are so inventive with the way that you come up with those. So in a moment, I will definitely have you share how anyone and everyone can go ahead and join your group. But the show is really designed to help entrepreneurs come up with ideas for new innovative companies in an industry that they may not have thought of. And Julia, you are definitely our very first Google community host and creator. So we would love to know how it is that we might be able to help you. If you had a magic wand and could change anything at all in your business, what would it be and why?
If I could change anything at all in my business, I think it would just probably be the engagement that I am having right now. While I'm having this great engagement with a lot of different people and while I'm helping a lot of them, my end goal is to be able to help more people than you can possibly think of. We have trillions of people in the world. You know, we're living right now in the United States, but I'm wanting to engage with everyone. And the community right now has people that are from Europe, from the Middle East, from Asia, and I absolutely love that. But if I had a magic wand, I would love for the world to just completely know that, hey, we're here, and we're here to help you. We're not here to put you down or judge what you're doing or, you know, make nasty comments. Come and join us. Just see what we're about. And then, of course, once you engage with me and you see, you know, how I am and my personality and you get to talk to me a little bit, don't be afraid to ask questions. Because that's something that a lot of people don't do. They are scared to ask questions because they feel that nobody's going to help them or somebody's going to judge them and criticize them. And trust me, we've had some weird questions, but we've never gone out and really, you know, say, oh, you're stupid. What the heck are you doing? No, we are really encouraging. And that's really what I want, for people to really know that we're there and that we're here to make you succeed.
Not just encouraging, but also extremely welcoming. It's a very, very warm community from what I've witnessed thus far. Members are very willing to step up and answer questions, and help out, you know, and the information that is shared from yourself as well as the community members is extremely useful on so many different levels of, you know, not just an entrepreneurial or startup journey, but those who are, you know, have been in business for a couple of years. There's definitely information that I think is useful to everyone out there. So, Julia, please share the best way for our listeners to find you and how they can go about joining your community.
You can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Google+ under my name, Julia Guerrero. Each of them have different URLs, but if you look me up, you'll find me. There's not many people that have my name. And of course, you know, you can join the community by going to Google+ and looking for Biz Thrive, or even if you put small business entrepreneur and you click on communities, you should be able to find it. Again, you know, with trying to connect with me, I love connecting with people no matter what. So if you want to reach me personally, you can reach me at my email, which is julia.esh@gmail.com. So it's GIULIA.ETCHED@gmail. And I'll be able to answer, you know, any questions you may have. Can I help you out where you're going? And just communicate. Let's engage. Let's network.
Wonderful. Julia, you have been outstanding. Thank you so much for sharing this morning.
Absolutely. And thank you, Lori, for this wonderful opportunity.
Be persistent and stay consistent. That in and of itself is a recipe for success. Julia, thank you once again for joining us this week. We truly appreciate you taking the time to share. You can reach out to Julia by joining her community on Google+ at BizThrive, BizThrive, or you can always reach her through our show notes page at technologyequality.com/Julia, spelled GIULIA. Technology Equals Equality community, thank you guys for tuning in once again this episode. I truly appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day to just check out the show, listen in. Let me know if there's anything at all that I can help you guys with personally. Please don't hesitate to reach out. You can always reach us through our show notes page for any one of the guests, so you can always go to iTunes and just leave a rating and review. We'd absolutely love some feedback on the show. And while you're in iTunes, don't forget to click on that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. And until our next episode, when we continue to hear the journey, find the pain, and create solutions, enjoy the week.